Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. This is Rick.
This is Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Rick. I'm Pastor Monroe.
And, hi, Pastor.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Yeah, we're going to people. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm Angela Walker's stepdad.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to finally meet you. I've certainly heard your name several times. I've never been able to place a name and a face together, right? But I've certainly heard your name, and they love you, and they talk about you in a very endearing way. Right? And then we just got joined by Sister Angela. Sister Angela.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Hello, hello,
hi,
hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
Yeah, she has to say hi, dads, because she likes to call
me
dads.
Yeah, to my dads.
So Rick, tell us, it's just the three of us right now, Rick. People will be joining us as they come in, and I'll stop and acknowledge them. But in the meantime, tell us a little bit about you and share a little bit about where you are, your walk, and you know what brought you here tonight.
Oh, I love Jesus. I got saved when I was a kid.
Mm.
And I've known Angie for 28 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we both love Jesus. And that's about it.
And you can't. Okay. And what brought you tonight?
Angie told me about the Bible study on the phone.
Okay. Well, we praise the Lord for the reason. Whatever brought you, we praise God for it. We just got joined by Sister Hawanda. God bless you.
Y'all blessed, Pastor. Greetings, everybody.
Greetings.
Amen. So we were just kind of going over, Sister Hawanda, how was your week? I know it's only Wednesday, but how's it going thus far?
It's going good. I enjoy Bible study at the JRC with the kids. It's just a joy and it'll keep you in a state of gratitude and just to see the kids transform and them be open to receive and them asking, you know, for more and seeking for themselves, and then actually being able to be open to receive a word from them, because we also pray that we need to be able in a place to where we show respect the person and we know that they can be used as well.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
so you were there when, last night?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And how many children were there?
About six of them.
Yeah. And that you're talking about the juvenile detention facility, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's heart wrenching.
Yeah,
I've been there before, and I've spent some time there, and it's heart wrenching when you see 13, 14, 15, 16 year old kids already locked up and already going through. I don't think there's a better way to put it. Already dealing with some stuff that grown-ups don't know how to deal with, let alone a child. So we praise God that you were there, you had a word in season for them, and some prayer and some love for them.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. And we just got joined by Sister Angel.
Hey, sister.
Hello.
Sister
Angel, yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking to you, Sister Angel.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Hello, everyone.
Yep, good evening. We were just going around the room, Sister Angel, and asking how everybody's week was going. If it's not any pressure on you. How's your week going?
No complaints here.
Amen.
Good. No complaints. Anyway.
Mm. Mm. And quick question. How many of us prayed today?
I did.
Sir, I've been in prayer all day.
Rick did. I pray all day long.
He said, instant in season and out of season, all day pray without ceasing, right?
Pray without ceasing. That's me, sir. That's me.
Sister Angel, explain how you do that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't quite yet know, how do I pray all day?
It doesn't
how
have
do you do
to
that?
Be a long, drawn-up prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I thank you that you protected me from something that could have happened. I just pray. Then sometimes every hour I'm in his presence. I'm before him. Cause I got
walking
some prodigals out there. I got some prodigals out there that need him. So I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for others' prodigals out there. So I'm praying without ceasing. I really am. That's the honest to God truth. I am before him all day.
Hallelujah.
Him. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I'm home by myself. I'm retired, so I'm not working. I'm home by myself with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing for me to do, so I don't like watching TV, so I sit and pray.
Amen.
And I pray for my children. I pray for friends. I pray for old people I knew in the past. And I thank the Lord for different things and just constantly praying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Rick,
yeah,
what does that do for you? Does it keep you? Does it keep you in the spirit? Does it, you know, what does that do for you as you're going through your day in prayer?
It keeps me in the spirit, and God's constantly revealing His love for me in it.
Amen.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm.
Revelation. Yeah. Revelation. Ooh. Just to know how powerful that he is, and that not just that he still loves me despite all the facts that he knows about me. He still cares about me. He still wanted to be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I fall short, but he never does, ever.
My love for him is increasing.
Yes, I just thank him for his faithfulness. I mean, even when we're faithless, I thank him that he's always faithful.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, that's so powerful, because it's not as though we could earn the grace of God.
Come on now.
That's why it's called grace. You don't get to earn it, you get to appreciate it.
Yes, I think
the more we grow into appreciating that grace, the deeper we do fall in love with him, because you begin to realize he could have left me a long time ago.
Long time ago.
He could have denied my last prayer.
Thank you.
He could have looked over my last circumstance. He could have left me in the mess that I was in. And I think that, you know, we too often, that's why the Bible says, do not take the grace of God in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's his grace that holds us and keeps us and brings us through our trials and tribulations and circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. And I thank you, Sister Angel and Brother Richard. I thank you for sharing that. Let me ask this question before we get started. We're waiting on Brother Tavon to kick in. We were studying the book of Corinthians, right? First Corinthians? Everybody's aware of that, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask a couple of questions. There's Brother Wallace. Soon as I said his name, praise the Lord, the door opened and he walked right in. Hey, Brother, God bless you.
God bless. How's everybody?
Hey.
Hey, good to hear you. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I was just walking in the door.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. So let me ask this question before we get started tonight. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I believe is what we're on. Right? So let me ask this question. What do you want to know in your walk right now? Because everybody's on different levels. Some people want to know about what happens when I go to heaven. Some people want to know about, you know, how do I keep out of hell? How do I deal with the hell on earth? Everybody has a different question, I think, or some different questions when it comes down to God. So let me go around the room. Let's start with Brother Rick. What things, if you could just question about your walk and your relationship, what would you question right now?
I'm sometimes asking the Lord, excuse me, if I'm okay in my walk with Him.
Ooh, okay.
That's a good one.
Sister Angela?
Me, I want to know more about when you go through, first and foremost, if the test, trial, and tribulation is from God or not, and if it is from God, restoration afterwards, how does God go about doing that? And if it isn't, and it's because of a person's own doing, how do they, you know what I'm saying, navigate through the test, trial, and tribulation?
That's a great question. Praise the Lord. Sister Wanda?
Well, I find myself constantly seeking the knowledge behind when it comes to words and the truth behind the words and the original language before things tampered with, you know. So we're calling on the right name and, you know, speaking curses over ourselves with the changes. And yeah, so just speaking the truth in that. That's where I find myself a lot of times, just speaking the truth. So it's without a shadow of a doubt, you know, to remove.
So truth, am I all right with God? Is it Satan or is it God or is it me? Praise the Lord. Sister Angel? What else would you like?
So with me, I've been going from church to church. I'm just going to put it on the table. I've been going from church to church, and I just truly want to know where is, I just want to find the right words here. Because everybody's preaching about so many things, but nobody's preaching about Jesus. Nobody's telling people that Jesus is on his way, and this is the what you need to do to get right with Jesus so you can be counted among that number. So you know that your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. So I really want to know, who is New Covenant Church? That was just always going to be my question.
What a great
before
question.
I plant my feet into solid ground. I want to know, is this the church that God has led me to? Because I truly desire a church home, but I want to know that everybody is on the same page, that we're all on one accord, that we are all seeking to know who this Jesus Christ is. So that's where I am. That's where I am.
Hallelujah. Brother Tamara, I'm not going to go to you because you're going to be used to answer some of those questions, and I'm going to assist as the Lord leads. We also got joined by our brother Otto Rockford. Please acknowledge and say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. That's Richard. No. We have someone that just joined us a few minutes ago. Please acknowledge yourself. All right. I'm going to go around the room and name off names. I have Brother Tavon. I have Sister Angel. I have Sister Angela. I have Sister Hawanda. I have Brother Richard. If I did not call your name, please acknowledge. So we can say welcome. Okay. All right. Tomorrow, what is the brother's name that joined us from out of Rockford that heard about the Bible study?
Isaac. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Isaac.
Yeah. Isaac, is that you?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, my apologies.
All right. Welcome, Isaac. Thank you for continuing to come. Let me say this before we get started, too. And we're going to have prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Angela to open us up tonight. I'm going to have Sister Hawanda to close us because I think that that's going to be the combination that gets us before the throne of grace so that the Holy Ghost can join us and resolve, right? Because we want revelation is, I think, what if we could ask, what if you can take all of the questions that people said, I want to know. I think what we're saying is, I need revelation. Am I in good standing? I need revelation, right? Am I in the right church? I need revelation. Amen. I need to know whether the attack is from the enemy. Is it coming from some seed I planted? Is it coming from God? Revelation. Praise the Lord. Am I calling him by his right name? Is there some truth to the difference between Yahshua and Jesus? Is that something different? Are we out of sorts as the church because we're not using his most high and holy name? Revelation. Praise the Lord. Isaac, what would you like to get out of tonight?
What would I like to get out? Maybe some strong words of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Better encouragement. Well, you know, I don't know how to put it, but I just need, I guess, more spiritually in touch with the Lord. Because I don't think I could be as strong for myself without getting close to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Right. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that, Isaac. Sister Angela, if you would.
Yes. Whew. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for waking us all up and clothing us in our right minds, Father God. Father God, we thank you for this day, for this day is the day that you have made. Father God, I thank you for this Bible study. Father God, I thank you for all my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, I thank you for your word. Father God, I ask right now, by your Holy Spirit, could you please open our hearts and our minds and our souls, Father God. Let the word fall on good soil, Father God. Father, come and water the word, Father God. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Pastor Jim Monroe. We thank you for Brother Tevon. Father God, I ask you to speak through them, Father God. Touch our souls, touch our hearts, minds, and bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, yes, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Say amen, somebody. That means I
agree. Amen.
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 Because we want what we need so that we can continue our lives properly. And so, Brother Tavon, 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, we're going to get started in that. But I'm going to go give us a little bit of history because of something Sister Angel asked. So what is New Covenant Church of Christ? Which is a really great question because I don't think too many people have ever asked it. They see that it's different. They see that it's unique. Many of them see the anointing and they see the presence of the Holy Ghost. But rarely do they ask, what makes this church different from everything else they have ever done? Amen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is, what is the new covenant? Did somebody answer that? All right. I don't see anybody jumping at the bit. Come on, talk to me.
It's so much. The new covenant. The new covenant is we have the good news. We have Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our high priest, our person that intercedes for us on our behalf. We have the comfort and teachings of the Holy Spirit. It's so much. That is a question. Mm. New covenant. That's all I'm going to put because I could be all day long.
I can add that for me, from my understanding, I would think that we first must know what a covenant is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a covenant is more so than a promise, but more like a contract or a how would you word that, Pastor? Because new covenant, that means it was an old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to understand what's really being said or what is meant by and what was the old covenant, covenant, and what is the new, and what's the difference? So, to understand what a covenant really is was important to me.
Okay, somebody, thank you. Somebody answer that. What is a covenant?
Is it the gospel? Jesus dying on the cross and rising again for us to be saved?
Okay, so Brother Rick, beautiful, thank you. So Jesus' death on the cross was the action that brought about the covenant. So it's the verb. The new covenant is the adjective. It's the action. The verb. I'm sorry. The new covenant is the adjective. It's the actionable life, right? But Jesus died on the cross. Was the verb. It was the action he took in order to bring about a new covenant. And why do that? So what is a covenant? Anybody know exactly what that means?
Something that can never be broken.
Okay. Amen. Absolutely right.
And it's eternal and it goes on and on and on.
It's eternal. It goes on and on and on. But what constitutes the covenant?
The blood. The blood?
The blood.
What the blood? God, mm-hmm. Jesus' blood. The final atonement.
Mm-hmm. The final sacrifice, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, before we move into 1 Corinthians. And I'd like for everybody to read it for themselves. So, and I'm going to explain and connect the dots on what everybody said. So in the old covenant and will of God, testament, that's why the Bible is broken up to the Old Testament, the New Testament. The word testament is the root word that we use today when someone writes a will and testament. Will and testament before they pass away. And so what do they do that for? Because they have things that they have acquired through life, right, that belong to them, that they want to pass on to their heirs. Does that make sense? So we set up a will and testament. So the will is what I own, and the testament is how I want it distributed. What I own, who it's going to go to, and how it works. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So everything you own, they call it estate planning, but everything you own goes into the will. The lawyer writes it up. It's a legal document that no matter what happens, that legal document is going to be fulfilled by the law. Praise the Lord. Right? Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So now let me go back. So what constitutes a covenant in a court of law is typically a signature. You sign that piece of paper, it's now documented, it goes into a file or some data storage cloud, and it's there to pull up anytime somebody wants to challenge it or somebody needs to use it, access it to show that they have a right. To start with the, oh, Gloria, thank you so much.
Man.
I can show someone you have a right to certain things because it's documented. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we use a pen and ink. In the covenant with God, you have to use blood.
Mm.
So in the old covenant, his old will, and how he distributed his power, his wealth, his wisdom, his knowledge, when someone did something wrong, they went and got a sheep, goat, turtle dove, a spotless, blemishless lamb, depending on the level of the sin, brought it before the high priest. The high priest took it into the back of the temple because the temple had a veil. And the people that were not called by God had to go in the first part of the veil, because if they went beyond the first part of the veil, God would automatically kill them. So the only people who had access to talk to God, to sacrifice to God, to ask for forgiveness of sins, was the Levitical priesthood. You'll find that in the book of Leviticus. That's what Leviticus, that's what that book is for, to let you know that there was a Levitical priesthood, there were some established rules, there was a testament. Those rules dictated and mandated how God blessed you. Make sense so far? Praise the Lord. All right. So if I messed up in this relationship, I was able to bring blood or a sacrifice and say, please clean up my mess with God. Take it into the temple, go into the inner circle, because I can't enter in, and please cover my sin for me. However, the problem with the Old Testament and the Old Covenant was that even though you could ask for forgiveness, the sacrifice could be made, God would forgive it. And here's what he said. He said, when I forgive your sins, I'll throw them out, as far as the east is from the west, I'll throw them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to even remember them anymore. Right? And the Old Testament. The next part about that covenant is the blood, though it was getting rid of the sin, could not get rid of the guilt conscience.
So
my sin is still given. I'm still acting a certain way because I don't know how to forgive it. So therefore, my actions are being mandated by my guilt, my hurt and my pain. So in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, there was no Jesus yet, at least not in the physical sense, but he's always existed. That's why the Bible says he was the lamb slain before the beginning of time. He was there to be sacrificed on time, at the right time, by God. So the Old Covenant, everybody following me so far? I want to make sure I'm clear about this. So in the Old Covenant, the Holy Ghost could not live in a person. So all of the prophets, all of the anointed kings had the Spirit of the living God upon them. So that meant that the Spirit would visit, get them to see, hear, and understand the thing, and then use it to do a thing, and then it would leave. That makes sense so far? Then it leaves. So now let's read Hebrews 8, and I think this will help to explain it. Ready? Everybody have a one?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Say amen, somebody. And I'd like for us to do something. Hebrews 8, yes, sir. So what is New Covenant? That's Sister Angel's question, right? So watch what he says. A1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, that's everything that they spoke before. That's like saying but, right? Now, of the things we have spoken, here's the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, which means he's gone now. He's given up the ghost. He's gone. He's back in heaven. Verse 2. He is a minister of the sanctuary now. and of the true tabernacle, because the old tabernacle had a veil. Anybody remember that when Jesus Christ died, the Bible says, and the veil was ripped in two?
Mm-hmm.
The veil got ripped. Why? Because he separated the ability for somebody to have to go to God for you so that you could go to God for yourself.
Yeah. Nice.
Ready? A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, watch what it says, which the Lord is pitching and not a man anymore. For every high priest is ordained, has been given the gift to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have themselves something also to offer, because they were broken. Because they were human, they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them, and so they didn't know how to walk in the Spirit, so therefore they were carnal, and even though they were the Levitical priesthood, they were still doing a lot of things that were not pleasing to God. So they had to make offerings for themselves, and then make an offering for you. They had to seek forgiveness from God before they could even do the sacrifice to God. Got it? Verse 4, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, such as Moses, who was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, God, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee on the mount. That's why there had to be cherubims at the door, 6 feet tall, wings were 6 feet long. They had to use certain wood and certain oak. They had to use certain gold inlaid in the tabernacle because it had to be presented and built with specifications for holiness. I'll take you there and show it to you if you need to see it. But that too's in the book of Leviticus.
I read that. That's a long
specific instruction. Not only did he get specific instruction, because Moses didn't actually build it, he carried the tents, right? The one who actually built the temple in Jerusalem was Solomon. God wouldn't let David build it because David's hands were filled with blood. David was a man of war. And God did not want a war-hearted man building a temple of love. So he goes on in verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator, listen to what it says, of now a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So God actually recognized the covenant I have with the people, they're not able to uphold it. They keep messing it up. So I'm going to create a new way to get people into heaven. So important is this statement that you begin to recognize why Ephesians 4 says what it says. And Jesus, when he died, went into the very depths of the earth and then went into the highest heights of heaven. Having seen the distress, he turns around and gives gifts unto men, some apostles, some pastors, some preachers, some teachers, some evangelists, because he begins to understand this is what people are going to need in order to move through holiness. I need a fivefold ministry to function a certain way because they're in a new covenant now. And so he had to go into hell, watch this, to preach to everybody that had died before he came, because everybody went to hell. This is why David says in the book of Hebrews, and the Lord will not leave my soul in hell. David went to hell. As anointed as he was by God to lead the people of Israel, he still ended up in hell. Why? Because there was no Holy Ghost. Notice in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, the Bible says, that if any man can confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that man shall be saved. That didn't exist in the old covenant because salvation was not the point. Learning to live right and moral value was the point. And God begins to realize that's not, I'm ending up with too many folks still going to hell. So a new covenant has to be established. Watch what he says. But verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, their ancestors, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So why is that important? Because when they came out of the land of Egypt, they were tainted by the Egyptians' oppression. They were tainted by the oppression they were under. 400 years of the yoke, 400 years of not letting them grow and ascend and be all that God had created them to be. 400 years of being held back, 400 years of being pressed down, 400 years of going through some stuff that, you know, everything was set up for you to fail in. And yet they still prospered. Glory to God. And so when Moses brought them out, and I want everybody to catch this because it's in your Bible. When Moses brought them out, everybody remember God parting the Red Sea?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
He parted the Red Sea, right?
Yes.
When Moses goes through the Red Sea, when he walks across, and the people follow him, they're all baptized under Moses.
Mm.
In your Bible, right? And I'm going to show it to you.
Okay.
Let me look it up for you, and then we'll move on in a second. Please go to 1 Corinthians 10:12. So we're almost there. And when you have it, say amen.
1 Corinthians what? 12?
10:12.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Amen.
All right. So watch this.
Amen.
Here we go. 1 Corinthians 10. Here we go. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you by such as common to man, but right, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make you a way out. Let me make sure I've got the right one here. I don't want us to miss this one. 10:2. Let's go back to 10:2. 10:1 and 2. Everybody got it?
Got it.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the same cloud. Everybody's messed up. And all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jesus, knowing that nobody was saved in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, says he had to go into hell to preach to all them people who had died before him because there was no Holy Ghost. So he goes into hell, and those that get salvaged, that's why the Bible says, and he led captivity, those that were captive, he led them captive a whole different way. Because the old covenant, God recognizes this is not salvaging what my main point was, because there's two ways to get to heaven, believe it or not. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. All right, two ways to get to heaven. Go to Revelation, the 20th chapter. And this might help to answer your question, Rick. All right, Revelation 20. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Amen. Here we go. I should start with the first verse. I got to start with the first verse. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a chain, a great chain in his hands. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which we call the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little while. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded even for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, they didn't live yet. See this? But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is going to be called the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in that first resurrection. So when we live right before the Lord, we've accepted Jesus Christ. And yes, we struggle. Oh God, we struggle because we're still in human form and we haven't been returned to the original form of the spiritual man that God created to place in Adam. So we still have struggles. But God knows that you're struggling to do the right thing rather than struggling while you're doing the wrong thing. There's a difference. I could still have a bad attitude in the kingdom, but I'm struggling with it because I don't want it, and I'm trying to turn it over to God, and I'm trying to get the Holy Ghost to help me to be delivered of it, but I could still have it, but I'm not happy with it. That's different from somebody who wants to cuss everybody out as soon as they see them. They're not struggling with something. They're embracing that spirit. Got it?
Makes sense.
Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death will have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to gather them together to battle. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about them. Beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into where? A lake of fire and brimstone. So we've been taught things such as where you go to hell and you inhale. But the Bible is getting ready to show you that, no, there's a second death. Going to hell is a first death. The second death is when you come back to the kingdom of God to stand before the judgment seat to be judged. And then when you're judged, you're going to get cast into the lake of fire. But I said this, there are two ways to get to heaven, right? Watch where I'm going, right? So verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven had to run away from. And there was found no place for them. Ain't no way to hide from God. Anyway, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So watch this. I saw the dead, small and great, before God. Everybody saw that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you interpret that, what it just said to us, everybody's going to heaven and everybody ain't staying.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to come out of hell. Watch what he says. Let me keep reading it so you'll see it yourself. Right? Mm-hmm. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, and stand before God. And the books, pay attention to that. It's a plural. The books, more than one, were opened. And then there's another book which was opened, which is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, which you brought up, Rick, right? The Lamb's book of life. And I think what Sister Angel said, is my name in the Lamb's book of life. So let me go back. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, and Savior, and you are struggling to live right and not giving up on the fact that I can't accomplish doing right, your name is in that book. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I make my mind up, praise the Lord, if I make my mind up that I'm not going to even try to get better, but I accepted Jesus Christ, the Bible says your name can be blotted out of the book, which means once saved does not mean always saved.
Amen.
Once saved don't mean always saved. Praise the Lord. Everybody got it so far? I hope you're getting something out of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are books, right? And then there's the book of life. And then he goes on to say, and the dead will judge out of those things, watch this, which were written in the books, plural. So that means that there is a group of angels called watchers. They're called watchers. There's the seraphim and the cherubim. There are the warring angels, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel. There are warring angels, there are protective angels, but there's all sorts of angels that are doing the work. And the watcher's responsibility is to pay attention to what you do in life and keep a record of it. Oh, God. Doing well so far. Watch what he says. It says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books. According to what? The works they did.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I could be void of the knowledge of Jesus and just be doing my best to be a good person, and I'm going to be judged on those works. There's another group that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, Master, and Savior that do struggle. Do have times when the flesh overcomes the spirit. Do have times when God, I don't know what to do. I'm praying about it, but I'm not getting an answer. I'm fasting over it, but I still haven't found a way to get past this point that God is saying, your name is on the book. Oh, God. Right? Watch this. On verse 14, he says, the death and hell will all be cast into the lake of fire. Did you see that? Death and hell. That's the reason why he can tell you there'll be no more death when you get to heaven, because I'm casting that joker into the lake of fire. He'll have no power anymore. Death functions as an independent agent. Death works for God and it works for Satan.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why some people can get shot and die, because Satan sent murder through a spirit to have someone kill somebody, and God can take death and use it to relieve someone from cancer pain and say, let me bring them home. Death has an independent contract to work for both entities. That's why Jesus makes the... Anybody getting this? Is this making sense? Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Let me know, because I can stop. So Jesus makes the statement, I rose so that you would know I even have power over death. I got up out of the grave to show you that I have all power. When he says the Father has put all power in my hands, that's how he got up.
Hallelujah.
And he got up even over death and told death, you don't have nothing on me. I am the final say so now. I am all powerful. I am the original name of God is Yahweh. Going back to what Sister Hawanda was asking, are we calling him by his right name? Well, his actual Hebrew holiest name is Yahweh. The name was so holy that the Israelites wouldn't say it. So holy that when they wrote the word God, they put G-D, because they didn't want to, the name was too holy, and they had so much reverence for the name, but not the actions. The reverence was in the name. That's why a new covenant had to be created. So the reverence would be for the holiest of holies. The reverence is now for him, not for his name. Everybody get this so far? Right?
Yep.
Verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found now written in the book of life was now cast into the lake of fire for a second level of death. Amen. So going back to Hebrews 8, right? So he says that I sent Jesus to create a new covenant. What is that new covenant? And please hear what I'm getting ready to say. And hear it with the spirit that I'm sharing it with you in. The new covenant is when I get up every morning, not just to pray, but ask God to lead me. Because I now have access to the holiest of holies through the Holy Ghost. And if I don't approach the Holy Ghost daily, because he's a perfect gentleman, he is not going to override the free moral agent gift that God gave us when he said, you have dominion. That's a free moral agent statement. I can walk out the door and jump off a bridge if I want to. I'm a free moral agent. God is not going to dry up the water so when I land, I don't die. Because it's a choice I'm making. And so without the Holy Ghost, then I'm making choices for the Holy Host that's supposed to have the Holy Ghost. And those choices come from the emotions. Praise the Lord.
Come on.
They come from my feelings. And if I don't have the Holy Ghost, I have nothing to control or contain my feelings. Thusly, a new covenant had to be created. So I don't walk in that guilt consciousness, because the more guilt you have, the more sorrowful you become. The more you look back over your life and see the mistakes of life, the more sorrowful you act, or the more sorrowful you feel, or the more hurt you feel. Because we question why people treated me this way, why people said what they said, and we question those things as in our human form. But if you recognize there's a spiritual element, which Brother Tavon loves to discuss, if you recognize there's a spiritual element, then you begin to recognize, oh, until I got saved, I was just as sick as them folk that made me sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So therefore, what I'm judging is not the person. I'm judging the sickness, and the sickness I'm judging, I had it. That's why Paul said, such was some of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up judging what God delivered me from rather than understanding it and learning to pray for them who despitefully use me, because I now have a new covenant relationship. So what is new covenant? Back to Sister Angel's question. So new covenant is a church that's teaching people they're in a new covenant, right? We can't believe it or not. There's a scripture in the Bible that says when Moses is read, we put people back up under the curse. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Moses is read, talking about the law, whenever Moses is read, you put people up under lawfulness, you have annulled the power of holiness.
Mm.
Does that make any sense to anyone?
Yes.
I hope and pray so. So the New Covenant Church is a church that is teaching people about relationship rather than the veil, the religion.
Come on.
Because religion is the veil. Religion is you over here and the pastor's over there. You have every right to go before your God just as any pastor would. You have just as much power in you as any pastor does. You have now what you may have that is preventing that power is a dirty heart. That is the reason why Jesus said, you must forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
I have to let go of all my hurt. I have to let go of my pain. I got to forgive the people in the nut house because I too was nuts. And I could be nuts and be raised in church, but I'm still nuts. Because I haven't been spiritual, I'm still self-centered. I'm still caught up in some things that as soon as somebody says something I don't like, I'm snapping out on them. And God is saying, that's coming from dirt that somebody dropped into your heart. And if you let it go, you'll see the power I have for you. You'll be able to lay hands on the sick and you'll see them recover. You'll be able to pray for people. You'll see change take place because you are a change agent. Praise the Lord. So I hope that answers some of everybody's questions. Am I right with God? Absolutely, I am. Because
Amen.
Now that I'm in the new covenant, I understand when I do something wrong, I can repent. The old covenant, you couldn't repent. It was just done. Because there was nothing to repent to. Jesus is now, watch what the Bible says. And so Jesus, who is now seated by the right hand of the Father, advocating for me night and day, without sleep, without slumber, never closes his eyes, never has to sit up on the couch and watch TV. He don't have to sit back and read a book to know who he is. He is who he is. He don't have to sit back and watch his watch in order to see how long you're going to be going through what you're going through, because he's the one without time. He is, was, and is to come. Time means nothing to him. What is a day for me don't mean nothing. It's a second for him. What is a month for me? What's a year for me? What's thousands of years on the earth ain't nothing but a blink of an eyelid for him. So time
you,
don't even matter
Hallelujah.
To him. He's just God all by himself.
Thank
and we
you,
get caught
Jesus.
Up on, we get caught up on our actions and our activities, and we keep wondering if I am who he says I am. When in all reality, what I need to wonder about is he who he said he is?
Oh,
because
Hallelujah.
If he is who he said he is,
yes,
I'm wasting
Lord.
So much time trying
Come
to figure
Jesus.
Out whether I'm a good
Thank
man
you,
or a bad man. Did
oh,
I do it
Hallelujah.
Right or didn't
I
do
got,
it right?
I got
what
it.
I need
I got
to worry
it.
About is
it.
When he got up on the cross, did he do it right?
Hallelujah.
I hope somebody received it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got it now. I got it. Thank you. Hallelujah.
You got it?
I got it. I got it. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah.
So now, Brother Tavon, if we can, please, let's go back to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. But I hope I answered a lot of questions all at one time. Brother?
Amen.
Isaac, you should be encouraged.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows what you're going through, and he's right there with you. Don't you know your Bible says, if you made your bed in hell, I will not forsake you. That's the other part of the covenant. A covenant made in blood lasts forever. It ain't for a week. It ain't like people's covenants. They go, yeah, I'm with you until I don't like you. It don't work like that. He said, if I'm with you, sickness can't separate you from the love of God. Death and hell can't separate you from the love of God. Because even if I mess up and I end up where I don't want to be, he's saying, I'm going to bring you back to heaven so I can clear up the the laundry list for you and get you into heaven. We are in a really good place as long as you know you're in the new covenant. Praise the Lord. Brother Tamon, please.
1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1.
Amen. Everybody, please go there. Make sure you read it. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's awful quiet on here. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I hope it's quiet because you all got something. Praise the Lord. All right? Somebody say hallelujah. Just wake
hallelujah.
Up your spirit. Say
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
which is the highest form of praise. I just connected my antenna to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just connected
Lord
up. All right, go ahead, Brother Tavon.
Hallelujah.
All right. Verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. In such fornication as is not, so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that have this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already
as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Did everybody get that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Yeah, doesn't it sound like, I just want to know if it sounds like that to you, but doesn't it sound like he said, that dude is so messed up, go ahead and deliver him over to Satan so Satan can kill his flesh, and that he might be able to get into heaven when they judge his works? Oh, God, did we just read it?
Yeah.
Let him destroy his flesh that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. When he comes, maybe he'll judge him differently. But if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's guaranteed the first death.
He's Anybody guaranteed what?
The first death, which is hell.
Oh.
Remember, we just read that that's the first death. There's the first resurrection. There's two deaths.
Yes.
The first death, it goes to hell. Second death, you end up in the lake of fire. If you've been in hell to pay penalty and pay penury, and then you get to heaven and God says, you know what? I'm going to let you're okay with me now. You've paid enough. And mercy kicks in. You could have gone through hell and still end up in heaven. That's why I said there's two ways to get there. Amen. Anybody get it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was scary. All right. Let's go back one more thing, Tavon, before you read off. What do you think is happening with this man and sleeping with his father's wife? And why is he saying, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that have done such a thing might be taken away from among you? For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I was there, concerning him that has done such a deed. And then he goes on to say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver this man, get him out of the place, get him out of the way. But why does he... why would he say that they're rather than mourning, they're puffed up about it? What do you think that means?
No,
anybody?
New part of the table. No conviction.
Say it again, Sister One. Uh huh.
No conviction.
Okay. Mhm. Amen. No conviction about it. So, anybody else? What else do you think he's saying? What's puffed up?
Boastful, proud, arrogant.
Oh, bragging about it. How could somebody be bragging about something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of deep?
Yeah.
What? They're bragging. You're supposed to be believers and they're bragging about it. I want to introduce you to a word that we've all heard and never think about too oftenly. It's called justification. Oh, I he only acted like that because he's got too much pressure on me. Oh, she only does that because she's tired of raising the kids. And she's got to do it all by herself. No wonder she snapped out and beat one of them half to death. I want to introduce you to the concept, or their concept of justification. But where do we get justification from? Previous experience. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tavon.
Well, I was just asking the true justification. We're only justified through Christ. And he's the righteous one. For us to be righteous, it has to be through him or by him, because we are just, the Bible says, dirty rags. There's no... justifying ourselves even being righteous in any way within our human selves. The spirit part of it is most important. And I think
in this time today, especially my day, and I'm living here on Earth, you get cool points in a sense if you sleep with a man's wife. All the sexual immorality is normalized 2025 to the point of sickening, doing some sick stuff, but they're making it normal
and justifying. Yes, sir. Come on.
It's in the way I look at it, to be justified by God, it has to be through Christ. There's no other way. Who makes me, well, you know what I realize? I realize when God looks at me, T-Bone, he's not necessarily looking for T-Bone. He's looking for his son, Jesus, in me.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he's looking for, because he is the righteous one. There's no other one that's righteous.
Yes, sir.
So it's a spiritual way I look at it, because the Father is looking for Christ, his only begotten. And all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of his son. So,
and daughters.
Amen.
So let me ask a question. So if we justify an act, for instance, if we did something wrong, I stole something, right? I didn't steal anything, everybody. I'm saying if I stole something, right? So how do I walk away from that without a guilty conscience? Without having something to justify it by? I have to say, well, I only took it because my kids were hungry. That's my justification. Well, I only used the drugs because I was hurting. Or because, I mean, I got caught up. That's justification for me. Does that make sense? I only cheat on my wife because she don't treat me right. Justification. So they're justifying something. But justification has to come from some experience. I have to have something to compare, because that's the wonderful thing about our spirit man and us and our, even our brain. We're always looking for the reason why. And while we're searching for the reason why, we search our database of memories and knowledge, and we come up with, oh, okay, this ain't as bad as. It's like some people who may be going through drug addiction. They will sit back and justify the addiction by saying, oh, that person sold their body to get drugs. I ain't never done that. And it's just your yet. Because it don't mean you ain't getting there. It just means you're not there yet. And so even alcoholics have levels of their alcoholism where they justify by looking at other people's lives and saying, I ain't that person. I didn't do that part yet. Got it? So justification comes from, say that again, please.
So that hits hard.
And you can see that it's true, right?
Yep, I'm guilty of it.
So I have a question too. So when you justify something, when you justify something else, because I've been in debate with people about it, when you allow something, let's say, if I allowed my kids to do something that's not of God in my home and I don't say nothing, is that me justifying it?
It's your brain is going to search for a reason to allow it. Yes, all of us are the same way. None of us are different. Your brain is searching for, even if your brain says, well, I don't want to have to deal with that mess, so I'd rather be silent. Yes, it's a form of justification, because your brain will sit back and even tell you things like, man, if I say this, this is going to turn into that, and then these people are going to do this, then we're going to have all these arguments and chaos in the house. But that's you projecting that. God never said that was going to happen. That's my brain doing that and making a way to justify what I don't want to deal with. Amen. Watch where I'm getting ready to go. So now let's turn to real quick, go to Genesis 35:22, and I want to show you the experience. Can I do that? Somebody say praise the Lord. I need y'all to be with me tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. where are they coming from with this justification that the people are walking around puffed up saying, oh, you know what, he's just going through this, and you know, they'll get through it, and so forth and so on, which is what we do normally. But watch this. Let's go to Genesis 35:22 and watch. Because they all know we're talking about Hebrew Israelites, right? We're talking about mm-hmm. people from the tribes of Jacob, who later becomes Israel, God's people, the nation. They had laws. They had the Levitical laws. And then the Levitical laws, So in the Levitical laws, if a man showed himself physically naked in front of his daughter, he was to be stoned to death. If a woman stood in front of her own children, and we're way from that now, but if a woman stood in front of her children naked, she was to be stoned to death. Now, you would look at that today and go, are these people crazy? I brought them into the world. That's my baby. Ain't nothing happening there. But they had some specific laws and rules, and the reason that they had them, right, everybody listening? Tell me you're paying attention to this. The reason they had them was because when you go from the book of Genesis to the book of Leviticus, it ain't but about 5,000 years past, and during that period of time, men were allowed to marry sisters, cousins. Abraham was married to his sister Sarah, who had the same father and a different mother. And God had to cease and desist it, so he began to give them the Levitical laws. We don't want this anymore. There's plenty of people on the planet. Ain't no reason for you to fall in love with your brother. Ain't no reason for you to fall in love with your sister. So if you do that now, you get to get stoned and possibly even get stoned to death. So let's go to, watch this. Let's go to Genesis 35:22. You got it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Are we learning anything out of this?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Genesis 35:22. And watch how things are going. Here it is. I'm a little slow on my Bible turning. So give me a minute. Watch this. Everybody ready? Here we go. And it came to pass when Israel, the father, dwelt in that land, that Reuben, the son, went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, who was also his wife. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob, firstborn, Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar. They go on to give a lineage. And so he slept with his father's wife. Jacob, Israel, did not stone him. Yeah. You get the connection. It was after he did it that they put this in the book of Leviticus that you can't do it no more. So now let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So they were puffed up because I'm sure they were sitting around, and I can only speculate, I wasn't there. But they were sitting around and saying things like, well, you know, Reuben did it. God didn't destroy Reuben. They were justified. Well, and I want to show you how well Satan uses justification. Everybody ready? And then we'll move on. Here's how he uses justification. There are women who had children when they were 16, and then when a child turns around and gets hooked up, caught up, and now they're pregnant, the first thing the child says out their mouth is, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Puffed up. you did the same thing. There's some things you shouldn't even tell your child.
Amen.
The life that you had before Christ. there's certain things that you don't even have. The Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. There's some time to sit back and say that information is no good to that child. It is not going to make them better. It's going to give them justification to do it the wrong way and then come back and use. That's why your Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine, because they'll end up turning on you and using it against you. And most of us have been, we've done stuff that our children use back on us, and we over here saved trying to live right, and we didn't told them too much.
Oh, glory.
Mm-hmm. When I was 19, I was going with Denise, and then by the time I hit 21, I had a baby over there by Brenda, and then I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this, and then I get saved, and now I'm sitting there telling the child, well, you don't want to do what I did. The child is going, well, wait a minute, you did it. And then you told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you speak to your children, all of us, you should be asking God first. Do they need to even know this? Is this healthy for them? Am I talking to anybody?
Please
say I'm talking to somebody. Is this even a thing I need to discuss? I need to teach them about school. Now, if I spent just as much time sitting down with a book with them and reading a book with them as I do telling them about my past infractions and hurt and pain and stuff, what diminished me and made me the worst parent on the planet until I got here, if I spent as much time in the book, if I spent as much time knowing that my child's first education starts on the lap of the mother and the father.
Amen.
Not me sharing all my pain and all my stories, because anybody listening? Because the first thing you know when you become a believer is the Bible says, if any man, and that word man comes from the Greek word anthropos, anthropology, mankind. If anybody in mankind be in Christ, old things passed away and all things made new. So why am I spending time telling you about the person I used to be unless it's a testimony to make me the person that I am, rather than a complaint about how badly I've been treated?
Amen.
Anybody get it?
Amen.
So they're dealing with justification. Hey, well, wait a minute. Paul is telling me, hey, it ain't good for you to be walking around and trying to justify that stuff. You all popped up talking about somebody else did it in the past, and maybe it ain't so bad, and you're trying to find a way to make this okay. Paul said, no, here's the problem. It ain't about getting them out so Satan can get them. It's about you're helping that person go to hell if you don't get them out.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody receive it? All right. So let's keep any thoughts, any statements on that before we move on?
Put it down.
I get it. Just put it around on the counter.
Any comments, any thoughts before we move on to the next scripture?
I wanted to say this, Dad. It's been a couple times where my, you know what I'm saying, somebody close to me that's known me ever since I was growing up, and who I used to be, I have caught numerous people telling my kids how I used to be, and I would be upset at that. Like, they don't need to know who I used to be, because I don't want my kids walking in on that path. And I always thought that there was something wrong with me because I was upset about that, but now you just reconfirmed it. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everybody get that? It's one thing for me to sit down and say to watch what I'm getting ready to go, please. If I sit down with one of my kids and say, man, I was so messed up before I met Christ. I was taking drugs and poisoning the children in the community. I was poisoning people, son. I regret that. To this day, I didn't know. And it's another thing for me. I mean, watch where I'm going. It's one thing to say I was 16 when I had a baby because I was so hurting on the inside. I connected up with some man and didn't hold him to any standard. and I let him move me into being up under his control, and we ended up having children, and I wasn't ready, and that's why your sister acts the way she does, because I was not ready to be a mother. I was just a child raising her. That's one thing to throw Satan under the bus. That's another thing for somebody to sit back and say, yeah, you know, before I was saved, I was slinging pounds of marijuana. That's glorifying Satan.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was making so much money. Woo! Before, you know, now that I'm saved, I'm struggling. I had a preacher say that to me one day, and I said, I need to get away from this, brother.
Amen.
Seriously. Yeah, well, before I got sick, man, I don't know now why I'm in God. I don't seem to be doing pretty good and so forth and so on. I'm going, brother, you don't know your God.
Amen.
The God that I'm serving said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So how's that going to help me? Well, here's how it helps me. Because I began to realize the first thing I'm supposed to be working on is my needs. The problem with that particular pastor is he keeps supplying to me. He wants a new car.
Right.
He wants a new bus. He wants a boat. He wants that. Oh, no. He ain't supplied to his needs first to make sure that his foundation is set properly. And once my foundation is set, God said, I'll even give you the desires of your heart. So if I don't steward over what God gives me. Oh, glory to God. I hope I'm talking something.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Everybody get it? Let's keep reading. Brother Tamar?
Okay.
Verse 6.
Chapter 5, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Your glory is not good. No, you're not. No, you
go ahead,
not.
Sorry, Tamar.
Little leaven. Leaven is the whole lump.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Just a little sin. Just a little tiny innocent sin will set you completely off.
One apple of
justification.
Come on, say y'all can talk. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I say one apple is for a whole bunch.
I'm supposed to be around people like that.
Whole basket is messed up because of an apple. One apple. Go ahead, Timon.
Verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Mm.
Therefore, let us
talk to us. Come on, talk to us. What? Talk to us, Tavash. Let's don't jump past that, please. Get rid of therefore the old leaven, that you might be a new lump, as you are now unleavened bread. But even Christ, our Passover, is not sacrificed. Talk to us. What does he say?
Come on.
Oh, go ahead. Is it on me? I saw the lady.
Mm-hmm, yes, sir. Come on. Talk to us about a little leaven to the whole lump. What is Paul teaching us?
Yeah, that's a good question. The way I see it, he's saying to purge out, therefore, the old leaven,
mm-hmm.
that be a new lump, as you are unleavened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just give how I see it.
Please.
Because I think it is, for me, it's in the thinking,
mm-hmm.
it's in the way of the thinking. in a way, the way I think now is so different than the way I thought a few years back.
Can someone mute their phone, please? There's a sound in the background. Please mute until you speak. Thank you. Go ahead, Tala.
The way I think now is totally different than the way I did a few years ago. The thinking, I believe, is the key, is the focus. I hope I'm not looking at it from, you know, too deep, but so to purge out the old leaven, I believe it's truly in the way we think, especially when we know, when we're studying the Word of God and we know the commandments and what's required as far as, you know, the foundation anyway, to purge out is to change my thinking, and the rest follows because of the way I think. You know, Jesus, when he came, the first words of his ministry was to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I realized that
come on, brother. Yes, sir.
That repentance word means to change your mind or to turn the other way. So that hit home with me because I realized that the behaviors, the characteristics, the actions, all those things is a result from the thinking and the way we think. Even getting in challenging situations. We were talking about the Lord Jesus and what he did, what it meant, what he did when he came, how it opened the door for us that was held captive. But what does that really mean? What is the new covenant? So understanding that in with me being in Christ and Christ in me, I already have the victory because there's nothing the accuser can accuse me of anymore. Because when we're dealing with God, it's really about the courts. I'm also familiar with courts and the court system and how it works. Judges, petitions, righteous, testifying. These words where most people believe these are religious words. But they're really words from the courts, a court system. So I lost the religious way of looking at it, and now it's really real in real life with reading the Word of Life. So I learned, like, being sincere in what I'm, the walk I want to walk in Christ, I have to be genuine within myself. And I wanted to purge out all that garbage that the world taught me. I didn't want it anymore. I truly didn't. So it started from the what I thought like. When I see a situation, what do I really think about the situation? What do I, the outcome I want to see? And it's justice for everyone. It's the same type of situation God is looking at for us. I realized that when God created everything, he wanted it to be successful, just like anybody that creates or invents something. No one invents something for it to fail. That doesn't even make sense. And we're talking about God and the wisdom of God. He knows what he's doing. It's just a certain part that I have to play in order for it to work and apply certain principles. So purging out or justifying something in my life, tricking myself, that's what I call it, deceiving myself, talking myself out of doing what's right, is only adding, it's the whole lump is ruined. I'm ruined. The way I think is ruining it. So I think it deals with the way of thinking much more so the action, the thing that happens, the result of it, or what happens in this physical realm. Because the unseen realm or the spiritual realm is where we take the dominion back. That's mm-hmm. where, that's the primary realm, the spiritual realm, reality realm. We think the physical realm is the reality realm, which it is, but it's a result of something more, much more important. So I hope I answered. I know I went kind of left field, but it really, basically, when we're talking about purging out, to me, it starts with the thinking, the way we think.
Oh, that was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the next person. Sister Angel.
Yes?
A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Purge out. What's he saying?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
So the question is, what does the script, what do we think the scripture means when he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are now unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for you.
Well, oh, we're closing out now?
We will be shortly, but yes. We're closing our comments.
Okay, well. So this was going to be my comment for closeout, if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what I got was that since Christ is my Passover lamb, I hope I'm doing this right now. Since Christ is my Passover lamb and he is the perfect sacrifice for my sins, and because he has delivered me from the slavery mm-hmm. of sin, I should have nothing to do with the sins of the past.
Amen.
That's the old bread. That's the old bread. I can now lavish on the new bread, which is the bread of life. And then I went to Galatians 5:1, and it says, since so Christ has truly set me free. And Jesus says, now make sure, angel, that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So that's what
Hallelujah.
I said. That's what I said. Thank you.
Yeah,
so,
praise
so
the
much.
Lord.
Thank
somebody
you.
Come
Hallelujah.
On.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to move over to the next person. I'm going to you, Sister Angela. But before I say that, has anybody ever heard of friendship bread? Have you ever heard of that? So let me tell you what friendship. So friendship bread does this. Somebody makes a loaf of bread at their house. They use a lot of leaven because, you know, leaven is what makes the bread rise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leaven is what makes it grow and become a loaf. And so the interesting thing about leaven is you can cut a slice of the bread off, give it to a friend. The friend can go and take and add baking powder, baking soda, and flour, whatever it is you add to make bread, and they can take that one slice and make another whole new loaf of bread. And they can cut it and give it to another person. And that person can take that same slice and make a whole loaf of bread and so forth and so on, and it can go on eternally. Anybody get it? And so, and so with a little bit of the world left on me because I didn't understand that the Passover took place. And the Passover part is this. When the Hebrew Israelites were in Egypt, and the Egyptians said, we're killing all of the firstborn males. We're killing all the male children. And the Lord told Moses, tell the people to go and kill a spotless and blemishless lamb, which is what Jesus is for us. Spotless, blemishless lamb. And I want you to take the blood and put it up over your doorposts. And when the angel of death comes by, it's going to skip over your house and go straight to the same people that committed you to kill your own children. It's called the Passover. And that's where Passover comes from. It is a remembrance that this blood was sacrificed in order to keep me safe. Everybody got that? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's saying whenever I go into my past, I have passed over the Passover. That lump of what I did wrong can still be motivating. So, Brother Tavon, you're spot on. It's a changing of the mind. I am not who I used to be. I just have to accept that. That there's no, you know, it's not like I look any different. At least not right now. It's not like I look different. But I can tell you every person that's ever been saved, they could have came from drug addiction, alcoholism, sexual addiction, gambling addictions, anger issues. Over time, they begin to look completely different the minute they let go of what was in the past and start moving towards their future. Does that make any sense? The old level.
Yeah.
Ain't in you no more. That's why it says you are now unleavened. There is no sin. Oh, God.
Amen.
I got all the yeast out. You can't even pass the sin on anymore. Sin is like a cold, right? We've all been impacted by it because somebody that had sin came into our life and shared the sin, and then we picked up on the sin, and we became sinners because it was the friendship cult. Just passing from person. Is that too deep for everybody? Sin works just like that friendship loop. You have some people that misused you, people that you fell in love with, or people that you are in love with, and they cheated on you. Most people become cheaters. Why? The loaf. Now go from being victim to being victimizer. I'm going to do it before it gets done to me.
Hurt people hurt.
Yeah.
Speak on it. Hurt people hurt, don't they? So let's go around. Sister Angela, how do you see that? How does that apply to your life?
I'm going to say what I keep hearing is influence. Influence is very powerful. And so we need to be vigilant against harmful influences, ensuring that the people that we are around aren't corrupted, you know, or our everyday lives. We got to be careful of who we sit with, who we break bread with, and all that other stuff. There's a difference between helping and then, you know, you can help people and all that other stuff, but, you know, you got to be careful so you don't become as such. So, I'm just going to say influence, because influence is powerful.
I love that word. Influence is powerful. Sister Hawanda, thank you, Sister Angela.
You're welcome.
I feel like their answers have already been great, and I do agree that it starts in the mind, but I feel like it's also, Sister Angel and Angela said, it's influence, and then it's connected to the old things we used to do and letting go of those things, but it's also purge means to get rid of something. So that might be somebody's mindset, because some people suffer with different stuff. So you might have thinking or think negative all the time. So that's like, you know, and then also it can be people, places, or things. Sometimes we do need to get rid of some of those relationships and old friends and things like that too. And that actually purge those things, to let go of those things. And even that, we can go a little deeper to say, because just from a testimony standpoint, when you don't want to entangle or you practice an abstinence and things like that, it's not just the person, places, or people or things. It can be the TV, certain things you watch, you know what I'm saying? Who you talk to on the phone and the conversations that you have. You know, anything that will lead you to sin or wake that sin back up in you when you are being mindful about your walk.
So you're saying people, places, and things, going back to what Sister Angela said, can have total influence over what Brother Tavon said when your mind is not cleared.
Yes, right? Especially when you're a babe, you can be around people. If you're around people and you're a babe in Christ and you're trying to stop doing something, if you're still around those people, they, you know, you're going to end, if they cussing every day or smoking every day,
you more susceptible to going back to doing what they do. So you need to separate. He said, come from them and be separated. Sometimes there is a time for separation until we can, till a strong man binds the house, and then you can go back to try to win them over, you know.
That's very wise. Anybody else on that particular subject? Have we gotten rid of all those things? Have we recognized that sometimes we do have to get away from people? Like, I'm a married man. I don't go around men that are not, I mean, I go around them because I'm a minister, but I go around them to minister. I don't go around them to hang out.
Exactly.
Right? I stay around other men that are married because I know we have things in common. Right?
Exactly.
And we're not, he ain't going to be telling me about his girlfriends or chicks on the side, because if he does, I'm out the door, because that doesn't make any sense to me. That's not helping me. That's harming me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so people, places, and things do matter. And who's in your ear, who's in front of your eyesight, that is very, very important. And God is saying, I have delivered you. You are now a new lump. And how you shape your new bread is going to be on you. Praise the Lord. It's on us. That bread can be made however you want to make it, but you got to know that what you were has nothing to do with what we're becoming.
That's right.
Amen. Let's keep reading. We'll be out of here. We're just about ready to close out. So, Tavon, where do we leave off? Verse 8, right?
I walked out the door. I got to get my boys, but you can you finish up for me?
I'll
reading?
Finish it out. Yes, sir. Yep, let me finish it. We only have about five more scriptures. I got it. It says, I wrote unto you in this letter not to company with fornicators, people, places, and things. Thank you, sister. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, the people who want everything, and the extortioners, the people that hold things against people, or with idolaters, the people that's so in love with basketball, that's all they can see, and they miss you, right? For them must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, meaning a fighter, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, don't even sit down to dinner. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without the kingdom? Do not you judge them that are even in the kingdom. But them that are without God, that's what you should be judging. Therefore, put away from amongst yourselves that wicked person, which is going back to, I think, what Sister Wanda is saying, if everybody hears it the way I'm hearing it. There are some times to tell folks, I can't. I just can't. I got nothing against you. That's your life. You do with your life as you will. You're a free moral agent. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's okay to say no to people. That's one of the hardest things for a believer to say sometimes. Nope. One of the smallest words in the world and hardest thing to say, because we're so used to wanting to help because the Lord made us sheep and we want to help people. We want to love them. But you got to know how to discern who to help. Who did God send me to help? Because everybody is not meant to be touched by you. That's what the Bible says. Lay hands on no man suddenly in the book of Timothy. Everybody's not meant for your hands to be on. There's sometimes you have to say no, because it's a funny thing about life, I believe, that sometimes people have to find their bottom before they're willing to go, I want to come up. And a lot of times as believers, because of our natural propensity for compassion and love and decency and moral value, we'll jump in even on our own kids and jump in and try to save way before they ever yelled help. They're in the water, they're splashing. We think they need help. And sometimes we need to wait until we can tell they're going down before I step in to try to pull them out. Does that make sense? And so Paul was saying, get away from that situation. It is not a good situation. It'll spread like leaven through the whole Church of Corinth. And you'll have other people sleeping with, and you'll have other people thinking this is okay. And Paul is saying, no, I'm judging that. I'm calling that thing out. Let it go. Praise the Lord. And there's some times in our life you have to be willing to let it go so you can let God. Let it go so you can let God. Any closing thoughts before we have a praise the Lord? Anybody have closing thoughts before we close out in prayer? Final closing thoughts, Sister Angela? Okay, go ahead, Tobias. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just thinking as you were talking, listening to that word fornicator or fornication, you know, and the deeper that I begin to get and grow, you know, to mm-hmm. fornicate is to like sleep around, right? Am I right mm-hmm. about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sense, mm-hmm. the sense as we know it anyway, in the world anyway. So it's like to have intimacy with God, to be intimate with God. He doesn't want me cheating on him. You know, and that when you spoke about the idolatry, you know, because sometimes we worship mm-hmm. gods and don't realize that we're worshiping another god, small g.
Uh-oh.
Small g.
Come on.
So we have to be thoughtful and fair. I mean, it's very easy. You know, I've learned, you know, with worship, I shared that my thoughts on that before, the worship and the singing at the church. You know, sometimes I think we can get caught up that we're worshiping the worship. We're no longer even worshiping God. We're more so focusing on the song and how we sing it and to sing it so perfectly. But I don't think most times we're focusing that perfection in God's eyes, but for man, the ones that's in the mm-hmm. in the congregation listening, you know. And so it's easy to do, you know. That's why I say it's about the thinking. With anything, nothing happens without a thought first. Not mm-hmm. a prayer, not a sin, not a nothing. Nothing was created without thinking it first. It came from that realm first and manifests into this physical realm. Everything starts in the primary realm, is that realm. So
yeah.
The thought is so important to be thoughtful and mindful of God, or we will end up being adulterous or a fornicator, cheating
mm-hmm.
on God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's what.
Well,
I just
idolaters.
To
yeah, thank
yes.
you for that. Well,
yes.
idolaters, putting too much stuff in front of God.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Sister Hawanda. Closing thoughts.
Yes, I love that Brother Taban just brought that part up, and it was going to like even my question from the beginning when he just said big G and little G, and that's what sent me on the journey to really seek out the true name. Because when we praying and we saying God, we don't distinguish, or we don't say, oh, big G. And there's people out here that call themselves gods and then even Lord.
Mm.
You know, I thought back to the gangs where they call each other Lord. You know, they vice lords, but they call each other Lord. And then there's, you know, people in marriages that call their husbands Lord and stuff like that too. So we don't distinguish it when we're actually using those titles when we're praying or calling on somebody. And I just know that I had a deeper yearning in me to like, no, I want to distinguish exactly who I'm calling on or who I'm talking to. And it became important to me. But I know for sure that you sowed the seed a while back before I had ended up leaving and then coming
mm-hmm.
back. And then it's like you can't unknow what you know. You know what I'm saying? And that's the reason I won't go back, because you can't unknow what you know. Like, and that's just where I am. Once I learn something, you know better, you got to do better. So it just continued to send me on that walk to seek the truth and then to stand on that truth.
Amen. That is a closing. Praise the Lord. That is so powerful. Right? Once you learn it, that's why we're reading through the Bible, family. Because once you know it, you can't unknow it. And it's important for us to get word in us so we know how to fight with the enemy. Thank you so much for that, Sister Wanda. I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer as we've gone way past the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you, everyone, for being patient as we went through some things. I hope you and pray that you remember some of them because they are clearly written in the Bible, even though a lot of times religion disagrees with what we just read, that a person can actually get saved based on their works. How is that possible? I thought we all had to accept Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there's no other name by with which a man can be saved other than Jesus. But we serve a merciful God. And if you're over in the Amazon jungle and you ain't been preached to or taught, I believe God has the mercy to sit back and say, let me just deal with who the person was. Because they never knew the truth. Praise the Lord. So, Sister Wanda, would you close us out, please?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, yes, glory. God. We just say thank you. We lift you up, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
We give you all the glory, honor, and praise that's due to your name. Hallelujah, that we may not be the ones to become puffed up or proud in our sin or in our wrongdoing. Hallelujah, that we will be submissive and have a heart of repentance. But when we do something wrong, that we are quickly to repent and ask for forgiveness. Hallelujah, that we may line ourselves up with your will and your word. Hallelujah. Don't let us miss in this season. I pray right now that whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without us. We just want more of you and less of us. So continue to teach us how to deny our flesh daily and take up our cross and follow you so that we can present our bodies back to you holy and acceptable in our sight. Hallelujah. That men will see our light shine and give you all the glory. We take no credit. We take no glory. We give it all back to you. And I thank you for every word that went by and everything that was shared on this line today, for it was seeds planted. For we are seeking you as individuals and we are seeking you as a collective, hallelujah, as a body. God. Hallelujah, that we can grow and that the seeds that you place on the inside, that we will be the one to do the watering. Hallelujah, that we will be continue to seek your knowledge, seek your wisdom, and seek understanding, because you said it's all thy getting to get an understanding. So I thank you that the word was broke down to where we can understand, which is called revelation. So I thank you that we sit under a ministry that we can receive revelation knowledge. And I thank you that everyone's words are important and that they add on to build up the body, that we all can become disciples. Hallelujah, that we can share your word. Hallelujah, that we won't just keep it for ourselves. We won't be selfish with it, that we'll share it with our neighbors. We'll share it with our children. Hallelujah, that we'll send somebody a text and encourage them. Hallelujah, that we will allow the word to come alive in us. Hallelujah, that we be the living word, that it flows out of our belly like living water in this season. Hallelujah, I speak life and not death. Hallelujah. I speak that we are lenders and not borrowers. We are above and not beneath. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors on today. Hallelujah. So I thank you that we be not conformed to this world, but that we be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. That because we know that it starts with the thought. Like my brother said, it starts with a thought in the mind. So I pray right now that you give us a mind of love, because you said love covers a multitude of faults. Love casts out fear. Hallelujah. So when we know how to love ourselves, we can correctly know how to love somebody else. So teach us how to love ourselves so we know how to love our brothers. Hallelujah. So I just say thank you for everything that is taking place on this line. I thank you that as we leave this place, but not your presence, that you continue to dispatch angels, that you have charge over each one of our life, that they minister to us throughout the rest of this day. And as we lay down to go to bed at night, that you send warring angels to war on our behalf, to tear down the camp enemy and every plan, plot, and scheme that he have over our generation, over our bloodline, over our children, in the mighty name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you don't miss. Hallelujah. And I pray that you increase our spirit of discernment. Hallelujah. That we may not just pray, that we will watch and pray, that we will try the spirit by the spirit. Hallelujah. So we will know who we are amongst, and we will choose accordingly. in this season that we call a thing, that we speak those things that were not as though they were, that we assign ourselves in a place of submission so we can be used at any time. Give us clean hands. Allow us to have clean hands, hallelujah, so that we can be willing vessels, hallelujah, able to be able to be used when you say so, and that fear won't take over us. Fear won't overtake us. That we will have the holy boldness that we need in this season and in this time. You said to be ready in season and out of season. Hallelujah. So I pray that you continue to equip us and make us and mold us and have us to be ready to stand firm, hold heels click for your glory, to bring glory to your name. And because it's not about us, it's all about you. You said only what we do for you will last. And we thank you that we have our minds and our heart postures in a place, and our hearts are at a state of flesh and not a stone anymore, that you are breaking up the fallow ground. Hallelujah, that you are allowing us and we are giving you permission to purge us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us new. Even that those things won't be brought up no more, so that they don't try to remind us of who we used to be. Because you said in your word, the former things have passed away, and behold, all things new. So we walk in the newness that you already decreed and declared over our life. And we thank you that victory is already our portion because you paid it all. Hallelujah. And for that alone, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. I thank you that what's to come is better than what's been in our life. I pray for our leaders on this line right now. I pray that you continue to touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, that you don't withhold no good thing from them. Hallelujah. That you open up a window and pour them out a blessing that they don't have room enough.
Amen.
Because I know the heart posture that they won't just keep it for themselves. Hallelujah. We know that you, hallelujah. We know that you are more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above we could all ever think or even imagine. So I thank you that your kingdom come and your will be done in our life. Help us to let go of our own selfish goals, plans, and ambitions in life. And focus on you. You told us simply to seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and your righteousness, and that everything else will be added unto us. So I pray right now that that's the prayer that we all pray, that we can become on one accord, that we won't miss in this season, that our sister won't be able to be sad in our presence, that our brother won't be able to be feeling hopeless in our presence, that we will be connected in the to discern what you will have us to do, knowing that every spirit will become conducive to Holy Spirit. And we just say thank you for moving on our behalf. Hallelujah. And I touch and agree with every prayer and every praise with everybody that's on this line and everything that y'all have up before the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. I touch and agree that it is done, that it is so. Hallelujah. And
hallelujah.
I thank you. And we say thank you because the praise shows that we believe that victory, we more than believe that, we know that you have already done it. Hallelujah. And we just say thank you. We thank you. I couldn't thank you enough. Hallelujah. So I thank you for everything that taking place on this line. So lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness and holiness. Shield us from the enemy. Help us. We can't do nothing without you. We just desire to be more like you. We just want to say thank you for everything that you are and everything that you are doing and everything that you are about to do on our behalf. We give you all the glory and praise. These things we ask in Yahshua HaMashiach's mighty name. So be it, it is so.
Amen. And hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
You always open up the throne of grace. Daughter, you're awesome. I thank God for everybody. I love you all with the love of Christ. I heard a religious man say one day, and it ain't nothing you can do about it, but I agree with him. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Just go love on some folks until love can no longer flow. So
love you back, that part for real, because we commanded to love. We ain't got a like. We commanded to love.
I love it. So good night, everyone.
Good night.
You can find this Bible study
on the website, if you want to go back and listen to it, discern it, if you go to the website, it is nccmadison.com. That's our website address. This mm-hmm. will load up to the website, and all of the previous Bible studies have been loaded up to that website. So tomorrow you should be able to access it. It is www.nccmadison.com.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. So I love you all and hope to see most of you on Sunday, except for tomorrow. I know he's in Rockford. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.